Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Kayfabe Controversy, the home for all of your professional wrestling and sports entertainment news. Lots and lots and lots of things to get to, lots of WWE news. It's post-WrestleMania, which means NXT call-ups. We've got the Greatest Royal Rumble card taking shape. We've got some big news out of the Rusev camp as well. We're going to talk about the Superstar Shakeup. The WWE has filed a very interesting trademark. We'll get to some Impact news and two huge cards this weekend for Ring of Honor. And so we'll get to that all momentarily. But first, we're going to kick things off with our recap of some of the things that went down on the Raw and SmackDown post-WrestleMania shows. We'll get to the call-ups first for Monday Night Raw. Ember Moon shows up as a tag team partner for Nia Jax against Alexa Bliss and Mickey James. So what a big way to make her debut. And it's about time that she gets the call up. She spent a little time with the NXT Women's Championship. So now she'll get a chance to shine on the Raw stage. That is, unless, of course, she gets shaken up over to the SmackDown Live roster. Also, No Way Jose in a squash match against some enhancement talent, as WWE likes to call them. We like to call them local guys that you get booked on the local shows who are finally getting a chance to show off what they can do, and then they get beat down quickly by the likes of No Way Jose. But a good pop for him and a good debut for No Way Jose. He's been down on NXT for a while. Never held any of the NXT championships, but did do a good job of competing in that mid-card level to kind of get the crowd hyped up and ready to go for the upper and main event part of the card. Also, the Authors of Pain showed up in a squash match against Rhino and Heath Slater. So AOP is there, but the interesting twist with AOP is they dumped Paul Ellering. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Paul, if he's going to fade off into the sunset and finally retire. The WWE Hall of Famer, of course, legendarily known for his work with the Legion of Doom, and now has really pointed AOP in the right direction. And now that they've made the big time, Paul Ellering has said goodbye to them, or rather they said goodbye to Paul Ellering, I should say. So maybe one thought I had was that he's going to head to NXT and work with War Machine, very similar to AOP in that they come in, they destroy, and then they leave. So it'll be pretty interesting to see where that one goes. So keep an eye out for Paul Ellering in the future. Some returns to the Raw roster. Jeff Hardy comes back after a shoulder injury and pairs up with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor in a six-man tag against The Miz and The Miztourage, which is kind of a bummer if you think about it. The Miztourage, Curtis Axel, and Bo Dallas. I feel like with Bray Wyatt kind of doing the whole Lake of Reincarnation and Woken Matt Hardy thing, that they could find a way to work Bo into Bray Wyatt's character in some capacity. Maybe they've tried it and it just didn't work, or what have you. But Bo Dallas is incredibly talented and really just hasn't been able to show off that talent in the ring, as his ability to tell a story and his work and his talent level can really shine. And the same with Curtis Axel. I really think this being Friday after the Raw, after WrestleMania, usually this is a future endeavor Friday. I hate to say it, but I really hope that Taylor Rotunda, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel really get a chance to go to greener pastures like a Ring of Honor, like an Impact, and really be able to show off what they can do. Super talented guys. I hate to see them leave the WWE, but if they're not going to be used properly and they're not going to get the push that they deserve, it might be time for them to move on to greener pastures, especially with some of the talent that is making its way up behind them. Lastly, we had a big debut in the form of Bobby Lashley, who went out and squashed himself some Elias for no reason, apparently. Bobby Lashley just wanted to show up and destroy something, apparently. And we'll see how his character comes about in the future. I'd like to see, personally, a shoot fight between Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, and just get them in the ring and just let them beat the hell out of each other just for kicks, and see what happens there. But Bobby Lashley on the Raw roster for now. We'll see how that shakes up in the future. So that does it for the Raw after WrestleMania. Not a whole lot of craziness going on. There weren't any title changes on this this show, the Raw Tag Team titles did get relinquished by Braun Strowman and Nicholas, the 10-year-old son of WWE referee John Cohn, because of conflicting schedules with Nicholas. Apparently, you're not allowed to just up and leave the fourth grade to defend the Raw Tag Team titles all over the world. So they relinquish. It sets up a Tag Team Eliminator in which we got wins from the Revival and the Woken Warriors, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Those two will fight each other this week, this coming Monday on Raw to determine who will meet the bar for the Raw Tag Team Championships at the Greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Meanwhile, the SmackDown after WrestleMania was something else. Not a whole lot of debuts, not a whole lot of call-ups, not a whole lot of returns, but one big, big title change. And I think this is the penance that Charlotte had to pay for breaking Asuka's streak. And not only that, but surprisingly, getting Asuka to tap. She is attacked by the call-ups, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the only post-WrestleMania call-ups for SmackDown Live on this particular episode. Billie Kay, Peyton Royce beat up Charlotte, and Carmella, the longest reigning Money in the Bank winner. She took the longest amount of time before cashing in to cash in at this particular moment, hit Charlotte with a big kick, and becomes the new WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the weeks going forward, with Charlotte not holding a title. The Greatest Royal Rumble, the women aren't participating, obviously, because it's in Saudi Arabia. Women aren't allowed to perform in the ring. So there won't be any women's championship matches defended at that pay-per-view. So we'll look at Backlash to see what happens with the women's championships. Big return. Daniel Bryan makes his SmackDown Live return. Not necessarily a return in the truest sense, as he performed at WrestleMania, obviously, but Daniel Bryan back in the ring. He took on AJ Styles in a great matchup. One of those quote unquote fantasy bookings that if you've followed the indies, you've been anxious to take a look at. So Daniel Bryan gets in the ring, puts on a good show with AJ Styles, and a SmackDown debut of sorts. Daniel Bryan resigns as SmackDown Live general manager. Shane McMahon opens the show with the announcement of the new SmackDown Live general manager. That is Paige becoming the new GM over there, with her official tear-jerking retirement at Raw the night before. Just a fantastic speech by Paige, and really a good job coming in and booking her first quote-unquote match with AJ and Daniel Bryan. So it'll be interesting to see how Paige's character evolves in a general manager capacity, but we won't see her at the Greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view. It has been announced by the WWE that this is going to be a 5-hour pay-per-view, not including the pre-show. So be prepared for a long night of action with the Greatest Royal Rumble in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Some of the matches on the card, we had originally a casket match between Rusev and The Undertaker. Rusev has been pulled from that match. Chris Jericho will take his place. Also, we have on the card the Universal Championship in a steel cage, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Roman likely will get a huge pop in Saudi Arabia as he takes the title from Brock Lesnar. Just my personal opinion on that one. We don't have any official confirmation from any insiders or dirt sheets that that's going to happen. But Brock Lesnar is 60 days away from breaking CM Punk's modern day record for the longest reigning champion in WWE history in the modern era. Also on the card, John Cena against Triple H for some apparent reason. I don't know why, but you got to get the big names out, especially if you're doing an overseas pay-per-view like that. John Cena, Triple H, still huge in the Middle East, and this one will probably get the biggest pop of the night between the two. Also, the WWE Championship on the line, AJ Styles against an opponent yet to be determined, most likely will be Shinsuke Nakamura, just because that feud has not quite reached the climax yet, so we'll see what happens with that, but it likely look for Shinsuke Nakamura to be his opponent. The Intercontinental Championship will be on the line. Seth Rollins will defend his title against Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and The Miz in a fatal four-way match. Possibly look for The Miz, now that Seth Rollins has his Grand Slam, look for The Miz to win this title back and break Pedro Morales' longest combined Intercontinental Championship reigns at 800 and some odd days. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but keep an eye out for that to go down. We mentioned the casket match. Jericho takes Rusev's place against The Undertaker. That should be a fun one to keep an eye on. And the SmackDown and Raw Tag Team Championships will both be defended at this show. The Bludgeon Brothers will meet the Usos, and the Bar will meet either the Revival or the Woken Warriors, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. One of those two teams will meet the Bar for the Raw Tag Team Championships. I'm really pulling for the Revival to win the titles in this match, mostly because of I was a huge fan of their work in NXT. They came up, they were getting that momentum going, and then they got hurt. And, you know, I want to see them pick that ball back up and run with it and carry the tag division. The Bar had a good run there. It's time for the Revival to take that place and let the Bar do a little bit of hunting or go on their own in solo work. I don't see that happening, but, you know, I would love to see Cesaro get a Universal Championship run. I would love to see Sheamus do some work as a solo act one more time. The last singles match on the card outside of the 50-man Memorial Rumble is the Cruiserweight Championship. That has been officially announced. Cedric Alexander is the champion. His opponent has not yet been announced, but if you watched 205 Live, the championship celebration for Cedric Alexander, Buddy Murphy broke that up and kind of interrupted things. So Buddy Murphy, likely the opponent for Cedric Alexander, but also Drew Gulak could be in that picture. You've got Tony Nese could be in that picture. Those two might actually go head-to-head if it ends up being Buddy Murphy. So we'll see how that plays out, and it could be potentially a match that steals the show outside of the 50-man Royal Rumble. Speaking of which, the 50-man Royal Rumble has 20 announced competitors in this one. The competitors that have been officially announced for the 50-man Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, who we'll see if he's pulling double duty, Big Show, Kane. Jericho is pulling double duty, competing in the 50-man and the casket match. Kurt Angle, all three members of the New Day, Big E, Kofi, and Xavier Woods, Elias, Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, Shelton Benjamin, Sin Cara, Shelton Benjamin's tag partner, Chad Gable, Goldust, Titus O'Neil, Mojo Rawley, and Dolph Ziggler, plus 30 others will be announced later on for the 50-man Royal Rumble. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. I want to give a big shout out to Anchor.fm for hosting our podcasts. If you want to record and launch your podcast on any number of topics, sign up at anchor.fm. It's absolutely free, super simple to use, and they will upload your podcast to all of the podcasting sites, whether that's Pocket or Apple Podcast, iTunes, whatever it is now. Check that out, anchor.fm. And I got to give a big shout out to my homeboys over at GameGo. We love to pitch them. Jackson, Michigan, Jackson Crossing Mall, all of your vintage video gaming and toy needs. Check them out online. Also, I want to give a shout out to Matt Bull and HOG, the House of Grapplers. Without him, this wouldn't be happening. And also his Pathological Fire show, also hosted on anchor.fm and wherever you can find podcasts worldwide. Check him out on Facebook under the Kayfabe Controversy banner and HOG, House of Grapplers Wrestling. Give them a like, give them a shout, because we need all the support we can get. We love to have fans give us suggestions for bookings and who they'd like to see next on the card. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more WWE news about an interesting trademark they filed, the Superstar Shakeup, and some news on Rusev. That's all coming up. And welcome back, everyone. Anchor.fm, the home of Kayfabe Controversy. I am your host, Jason Smith. I want to get to a couple of quick things in the WWE before we move on to Impact and Ring of Honor. The WWE filed a very interesting trademark the other day. Stephen Fernandez of PW Insider is where I got this information. The WWE applied to trademark global localization back on April the 7th, and they listed the following description in the trademark application. This is entertainment services, namely a show about professional wrestling, entertainment services, namely the production and exhibition of professional wrestling events rendered live through broadcast mixed media, including television and radio, and via the internet or commercial online service, providing wrestling news and information via a global computer network, providing information in the fields of sports and entertainment via an online community portal, providing a website in the field of sports entertainment, fan club services, namely organizing and staging events with wrestling fan club members, providing online newsletters in the field of sports entertainment, online journals, namely blogs in the field of sports entertainment, business development, entertainment services, namely development and distribution of talent content, end quote. So, what the hell does that all mean? It appears that WWE is going to try to localize all of the professional wrestling sports entertainment groups under one banner, namely the WWE. This could be a home for independent talent, a home for independent promotions to show off their work. It could be podcasts like this having another home. It could be newsletters having a home. Just a one-stop shop for everybody who wants sports entertainment and professional wrestling news and events and where to find them all. So whether that banner will be the WWE Network or it will be something different, or maybe there's something going on with WWE purchasing another promotion. They've done a lot of work as a partnership with a lot of the UK promotions, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Progress. I think Evolve has been involved in a little bit of that. What Culture, I think, was involved for a little while before they had their split between the two promotions. So keep an eye out for this. It doesn't look like it's something that's going to be happening tomorrow, since the trademark was just filed. And it could just be a term that WWE wants to use, this global localization, quote-unquote, term that WWE wants to use. So a very interesting thing to keep an eye out for. Again, big thanks to Stephen Fernandez on PW Insider for that. Also, PW Insider's Mike Johnson filed a report yesterday that he has found out that pretty much every single major star on the SmackDown Live roster will be backstage for Raw. So this leads me to believe probably one of two things. Number one, they have no idea who's going where. And number two, there will be a lot of cameos and matchups between the two shows. So this could be an interesting opportunity for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because if you remember on Raw, Kurt Angle said he only had room for one. So it could be an interesting way for them to do a future endeavor, a release of some sort, and get both Kevin and Sammy onto Monday Night Raw. Or it could be that Kurt Angle does a 2-for-1 deal or a 3-for-1 deal where he gets one of the major SmackDown Live talents like an AJ Styles or a Shinsuke Nakamura, which I highly doubt either of those two are headed anywhere, but shake that up. And then have room for Kevin and Sammy. So keep an eye out for that. Some SmackDown Live appearances on Monday Night Raw. And we'll see what happens with that superstar shakeup. One major shakeup on the SmackDown Live roster that we know of for sure is Rusev. We've been talking about for the last couple of weeks how Rusev has been very interested in negotiating his release from the WWE because he's been very unhappy with his push. You have seen very little of Lana on Raw on the women's division side. So Future Endeavor Friday could be Rusev and Lana are on that list. Rusev's Twitter account and all other social media has removed every single mention of the WWE in the profiles, in the about sections. He has also put up his agent's email for booking. So if you have a $50,000 to $100,000 house that you'd like to mortgage to book Rusev, and you're willing to wait 90 days to do it, Rusev should be a free agent on the market probably very soon. So that's one to keep an eye on, unless this is some sort of work that the WWE is putting over on everybody. But again, Rusev, go check out his social media sites. There is no mention of the WWE in the About sections. And also, you have his contact information, or rather his agent's contact information for booking. And with that, we're going to take another quick break here, and we'll get back with Impact news quickly. There's not much going on Impact, just some tapings. So a couple of things we'll talk about there. Also, two huge Ring of Honor shows, including an Honor Club exclusive show on Sunday. We'll talk about the cards for both of those shows coming up next on Kayfabe Controversy on Anchor.fm. Welcome back, Kayfabe Controversy. This is Jason Smith. Thanks to Anchor.fm for our hosting of this awesome podcast, Kayfabe Controversy, where we talk about everything professional wrestling and sports entertainment. If that's your bag, go out to Facebook and give Kayfabe Controversy a like. Also, if you are available to improve our website and you're willing to work for literally nothing, we would love to have your help. Give us a shout out at info@kayfabe.world. You can also email questions to the show at info@kayfabe.world. And you can hit us up on Facebook as well. Kayfabe Controversy is the Facebook page. Go give us a like. We would really, really appreciate it. Moving on from the WWE, finally, to some Impact news. They were doing their tapings, setting up for the Redemption pay-per-view that's coming up here pretty soon. Eli Drake and all of his Feast or Fired briefcases. I think he's got like 60 of them. He has as many Feast or Fired briefcases as Austin Aries has championships. But he's looking for a partner for the Redemption show against LAX for the tag team titles. And none other than the master of the mic, Scott Steiner, showed up and cut a promo on Conan, cut a promo on literally anybody he could find, and probably some people that he just had on his mind. So the man with the shortest fuse and the longest arms in professional wrestling, Scott Steiner, will be returning to Impact at a show near you. His first appearance most likely will be at Redemption versus LAX, Conan's faction, for the tag team titles. Another legend appeared on the taping for Impact and set up a match at Redemption. Eddie Edwards, if you remember, Edwards had his face basically beaten off by Sammy Callahan with an aluminum bat, a botched spot there. Callahan broke Eddie Edwards' orbital bone and really did some damage to his eye socket there. Eddie Edwards came out and was in support of Moose versus Sammy Callahan, and then OVE, Ohio versus Everyone, the Chris Brothers, Dave and Jake, showed up, and Tommy Dreamer appeared on an Impact stage for the first time. The original ECW hardcore legend, Tommy Dreamer, now officially with Impact. So he, Eddie Edwards, and Moose will face OVE and Sammy Callahan at Redemption. Also, Pentagon El Cero will be in action. I believe he is part of the triple threat with Phoenix and Austin Aries to defend the Impact Championship and whatever other of the 97 titles that Austin Aries currently holds across literally every independent promotion that you can find. So Impact struggling to retain interest continually, despite the ownership change and some of the things that they were working to do, so hopefully they can work that out. Some Impact news also: the WWE is doing a Hardys documentary. You will see Impact action on that documentary. Apparently, WWE has purchased the Hardys video library from Impact, or at least snippets of it, as the WWE continues to kind of, not necessarily break down, but they're purchasing Impact piece by piece. They have Samoa Joe's library. They have AJ Styles' library. Either that or the talent themselves purchased it. But either way, the Impact library is starting to thin out a little bit, courtesy of the WWE and their talent. And now we will move on to the final section of our show, the Ring of Honor weekend news, as their TV tapings and things take shape. You can see them twice this weekend, once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if you're in the area, at Stage AE, 7 p.m. The Steel City Excellence Show is tomorrow. And then this Sunday, an Honor Club exclusive. This will only be available on Ring of Honor's Honor Club subscription service that is the Masters of the Craft show from the Express Live Center at in Columbus, Ohio. That is Sunday, April the 15th at 7 p.m. So if you want to make the trek down there, it's an awesome card. Also, the Steel City Excellence card is shaping up to be pretty good as well, and we'll go through that one first. The Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships are on the line. The Briscoes, the reigning champions, will take on the Young Bucks. Also, the World Television Championship will be on the line. Silas Young will meet Bullet Club hopeful Flip Gordon. And then a non-title match has been scheduled for the six-man Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions, SoCal Uncensored. That's The Addiction, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels against Scorpio, and Scorpio Sky, I should say, versus the Bullet Club members Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. A lot of six-man action in this one also. Dalton Castle and the boys will meet The Kingdom. For those of you who don't follow Ring of Honor as closely as some of us do, Kingdom is Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marsalia, the hardcore or the horror original or something like that. I'm not sure what they call him, but Vinny Marsalia is the third member of The Kingdom. Also on the card, a good matchup here that I'm looking forward to. Jay Lethal will meet Punishment Martinez. Also, Jonathan Gresham will meet Will Ferrara of the Dogs. And Brandi Rhodes versus Jenny Rose are also booked for that match. There are others that likely will see action or at least be involved in some capacity in this show. Scheduled to appear also, the Ring of Honor women's situation is going to continue to get heated up here. Sumi Sakai is scheduled to appear. The Motor City Machine Guns, that's Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin from Detroit, hometown boys, likely will be involved in the Briscoe's Young Bucks situation there. The Ring of Honor quote-unquote enforcer Bully Ray scheduled to appear, also former MMA fighter Josh Woods, Shane Taylor, Caprice Coleman with Coleman's Pulpit, which is a very interesting segment. If you've ever had a chance, check that out. Cheeseburger, yes, that is his name. Cheeseburger is scheduled to appear. Mandy Leon, Kelly Klein, and Deanna Perrazzo will also be scheduled to appear, probably in some capacity with the Brandi Rhodes versus Jenny Rose matchup. They'll be involved in that, which brings us to the Ring of Honor Masters of the Craft show the following night. And you'll start to see some of the matches have taken shape based on who's scheduled to appear at Steel City Excellence. The first match that was announced was the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. Assuming Silas Young wins, Cheeseburger will get his shot. So Cheeseburger versus Silas Young for the World Television Championship if Silas Young is able to retain. Also, a six-woman tag team match is scheduled. Sumi Sakai, Tennille Dashwood, formerly in the WWE known as Emma, and Deanna Perrazzo, who made a few appearances in WWE on the NXT level, a very talented young woman. They will all take on Jenny Rose, Brandi Rhodes, and those two will team up and have a former Impact Knockouts champion and women's wrestling superstar Madison Rain will join the Ring of Honor Masters of the Craft show. The Ring of Honor's world's, or the Ring of Honor largest tag team, Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonis, easy enough for me to say, will take on LSG and Shaheem Ali, collectively known as Coast to Coast. Should be a very interesting matchup as Shaheem Ali and LSG are not exactly the biggest guys in the world, and Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonis are both easily 300 to 400 pounds, and so this should be a fun matchup to keep an eye on. Also scheduled for that one, non-title matchup, the Ring of Honor World Champion Dalton Castle will meet Marty Scurll, Punishment Martinez, and the Beer City Bruiser, who will be pulling double duty on the Masters of the Craft show. Again, that is a non-title match with Dalton Castle involved. Also, a First Blood match has been booked between Cody and Matt Taven. So perhaps the Kingdom gets involved in the SoCal Bullet Club six-man match at Steel City Excellence to set that up. Also, the Bullet Club continues to get involved as the Hung Bucks, that is the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, along with Flip Gordon, will meet SoCal Uncensored, The Addiction, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels, along with Scorpio Sky and Shane Taylor. who, as we mentioned, was scheduled to appear at Steel City Excellence. So you're starting to see some of these matches take shape based on the scheduled appearances and the matchups taking place at Steel City Excellence. Also, the final match that has been announced for Masters of the Craft, Jay Lethal will meet Jonathan Gresham in what could be the match of the weekend. That match there, Jay Lethal against Jonathan Gresham. Gresham is on the come up. Jay Lethal, one of the Ring of Honor faces, probably one of the best talents Ring of Honor has ever had. So that'll be probably the one to watch. I know I'll be watching. Let me know what you think. Go to Facebook and check out Kayfabe Controversy and tell us what you think of these two Ring of Honor shows. Also scheduled to appear at Masters of the Craft, the Briscoes, and the Ring of Honor enforcer Bully Ray, who likely will set up some matches or work on setting up for the TV tapings that Ring of Honor is scheduled to do here coming up in the future. So with that, that's all we've got on this episode of Kayfabe Controversy. I want to thank all of you for joining us on a very busy week post-WrestleMania. Usually this one is kind of light. There's some future endeavors, which if there are, we will break those to you as they happen. Again, I want to thank Anchor.fm for being our home for the Kayfabe Controversy podcast, Matt Bull and the Pathological Fire podcast. Go check him out at Anchor.fm or anywhere that you can find podcasts, the Apple Music Store and Pocket, I believe, are the other ones that we broadcast to. You can like us again on Facebook at Kayfabe Controversy and HOG, House of Grapplers Wrestling. Go and give them a big like. We've got some big things planned for you between the CEO, Matt Bull, and myself, the mayor of the house. And we'll be announcing some things shortly as springtime rolls around, which means HOG gets geared up for their summer festivities. Again, I am Jason Smith. Thank you for joining us on Kayfabe Controversy, and we will see you next time.